Welcome to Grace Believers Bible Study. This is going to be the church service here today. We just went through one, and we're going to make a continuation of that one. I'm sorry you missed it, but what we're talking about is things that the Apostle Paul went through to... Do you need me to cut it up? Can you hear Harry?
Yeah.
Okay. To get the message out, the message of salvation, that Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead on the third day to pay for your sins and your sin debt. For your justification, the just for the unjust. That's what we're talking about. It's who opposed Paul? Well, everybody did. And it's hard. Now, who was the greatest opposition to the Apostle Paul getting the message out of the gospel of the grace of God? Religion! That's who it was. I'm going to tell you a story in just a moment about what transpired Tuesday night. The most serious opposition was religion. It was true in the Apostle Paul's day, and it's still true today. Hasn't changed. Religion is against the Word of God being rightly divided in getting the message out to each and every individual. Who's behind that? It's the prince of the power of the air. That's who it is. Satan is behind it. Do you know there's a war going on, and it started before Genesis, when Satan, the anointed cherub, got kicked out of heaven because he wanted to be like the Most High God. Say it. Well, see, I know, and I'm not going to show it to you right now because it's not. I don't know where I'm going on this, but I'm not going to go back to show it to you. But Satan was in charge of this earth. Did you know that? He was. I've heard people talk about that and speculation. Well, we think he was in charge. Well, he was by the Scriptures. Before he got kicked out of heaven, he sat on the holy mountain. That's in Jerusalem. There ain't no doubt about it. It says so. So this is a war about a kingdom with Satan and God. And it's continued all the way through. That's what it's about. And if you want to read where he started, was in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when he talks about the sun is going to bruise his head, and he did. And Satan would bruise his heel. But what I'm talking about is the most serious opposition to the gospel of the grace of God is religion. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I am so excited about this service. The ones I worked on one yesterday for the next 3, 4, 5 weeks. You know, that's how far I've got it done. And it's, oh my gosh, I was just jumping up and down with it. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And we know in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it talks about the serpent being the most subtle person, entity, person, creature. But he beguiled Eve through his subtlety. People do that every day to us. Religion does. Verse 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another Spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with it." And the idea is just don't give in to it. Don't give in to who? Satan. Now, this is a very profound scripture, 2 Corinthians 11:4, because we're going to be dealing with this I'm telling you, there's some profound things that I'm going to bring back to you in just a moment. But Paul said something, you don't have to go, but you can, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I, what? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. We don't even know what the power of God and how strong it is. The power of God, we can't even, our little minds can't even comprehend the power of God. Can you comprehend Jesus Christ, who is the Word, speaking this universe into existence? No, I can't. I know it happened because that's what the Bible said, but I can't comprehend it. It's just too big. We're mere humans. Paul preached Christ and Him crucified to these Corinthians. You know, and they believed it. They trusted the gospel that he preached. And boy, these were some kind of unmoral people, should I say, the Corinthians. But they trusted the gospel and they believed it, what he preached. In verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 11, Paul writes to these Corinthians again, For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. Well, what's that, whit? Richard, you used that word last week. Remember using it?
Whit?
Yeah. No, not to wit, but whit. Oh. Means less than. Let's read it with that in there. For I suppose I was not less than the very chiefest apostles. He's not less than. But he didn't come out and say I was. He said, I suppose. He don't want to brag about nothing. Do you realize that? It's just like when he went up to the third heaven. He could have come back and he could have bragged about that. Paul does not brag about anything. He says the glory of the Lord is the preeminent thing to talk about. The salvation message. What the Lord did for me. You remember he said, I count all those things done that I did in those other religions. Now, verse 6. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. I looked at this. I was reviewing one of the videos to put out. Trish was showing me how to edit one of these videos. And I looked at myself and I almost wanted to quit the ministry because I saw myself. I looked at EC, talked to EC one time. I said, EC, Moore, that is. I said, do you ever watch your videos? He said, no, I can't stand it. Now, I know exactly what he's talking about. I want other people to watch it. But man, I was like a chicken out of water. I was flopping here and flopping there and everywhere else. Home George is about to die over there, but that's the truth. I was looking and I said, man, is that me? But now here's what I want to read it because this fits. But though I be rude in speech, you wouldn't think a guy with a master's degree would be rude in speech, would you? I used to not be. And I talked to Carol about it last night. Was it last night?
Night before that.
I'm just somehow me. I think what I am now is what I was raised by the time I was 12 years old. I do. I don't have no problem with it. But when I see myself, oh my God. But here's where I am. Yet not in knowledge. I'm not rude in knowledge. Where do I get my knowledge? I get it by the Lord showing it to me through this book. I'm not talking about the knowledge to work on a car, knowledge to develop a computer program and all those things that I've done. I'm talking about the knowledge. It's godly wisdom. I get it from the book. But you can't get it unless you have trusted the Lord. Because we know these things in the Bible, all these wonderful things that's addressed to us, are spiritually discerned. And unless you have the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, dwelling in you, tabernacling in you, then you're not going to understand this godly wisdom. And I find out that you don't have to be the most eloquent speaker I watch some of y'all guys speak. Very, boy, just envious of you. But the Apostle Paul was rude in speech. I see some of these, what they call silver-tongued devils. Rick Warren. Boy, it's going to offend somebody. Billy Graham. John Hagee is an awesome speaker.
And Joel Osteen.
I don't even know if he's a good speaker.
I think he's good.
But he says what they want to hear. Paul says, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. He appeared to you. He talked, I'm talking about to the Corinthians. He appeared there, manifest, appeared. In all things. None like it. And they trusted the gospel of Christ. We know they did. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, God will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. God will have all men to be saved. But He didn't will it to come to pass. That's His wish and that's His desire. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, would you please? For such are false apostles. That refers back over to 2 Corinthians 11:4. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing, it's not a big deal for Satan to do this, if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. How were they transformed into the ministers of righteousness, guys? I'm going to tell you. Go ahead and go back, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Just hold on to that. Well, these angels of Satan's, what do? They came with a name. They sit in pulpits. They come with a name. Jesus. Oh, that sounds like a religious guy there. I'm going to put my confidence in that name. He's talking about Jesus. He's a man of God. They came with a word. What's that word? We're going to read it again in verse 4. Gospel. Well, he come with the name Jesus. I mean, and he comes with the word gospel. Now he's on my footing. I like him. And they also come with a, let me draw it. With a spirit. Now, wouldn't you believe that individual had to be, that's a small less guy. If he come in the name of Jesus, preaching a gospel, and he comes with a spirit, would you think he was preaching what Paul and the risen Savior would want you to hear? No, 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 no. Let's go back real quick. I'm going to take you. Go back to that 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. For if he that cometh preach another Jesus, he comes in the name of Jesus. It's another Jesus. You hear Richard talking about it all the time. Where's that other Jesus at? He's in all the so-called Bibles other than the King James Bible. That's where that other Jesus is at. My Jesus is in not in, in any other book other than the King James Bible as far as the Bible goes, the translation or a version. Whom we have not preached. Well, Paul didn't preach that other Jesus. Or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, are another gospel. Anything. Some people say, well, how can you be judge, jury, and trial of it? How can you do that? How can you say somebody's wrong? I can go to the Scripture. What is this another gospel? Paul calls it in Galatians chapter 1. That ain't my notes, but let's go look at it. Galatians chapter 1. Because what is this he's talking about? He's talking about false apostles, ministers of darkness, preaching another gospel. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Verse 6. Paul writes these Galatians, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. He's talking, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That another gospel is a perversion of the gospel of Christ. And over in 2 Corinthians 11:4, it's another gospel. But though we, and this is where you go to show somebody. You got to show them what the gospel of Christ is. That's this right here. And that's 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. But you go here, first in Galatians 1:8. But though we, Paul says, him and his entourage, whoever's with him, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Back over there in Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, we know that's not your Jesus whom we have not preached. You've got to know what Paul preached. Where do you find it? In Romans 3 by Philemon. Or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel will send you to hell. It is man-made. Satan is the author, but man adds to even Satan to please Satan. Which you have not accepted, you might be able to bear with it. Don't give in to Satan is what it's saying. Ooh. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, he's talking to these Ephesians, made alive. He preached the gospel to them, the gospel of the grace of God. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Yes, we were. We were born in sin. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. Verse 2. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. And we do. Before we get saved. According to who? The prince of the power of the air. Now look. You remember back in there in 2 Corinthians 11:4, we talked about a spirit with a little E. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's that spirit. It's the spirit of Satan working in the children of disobedience. That's the spirit that his angels of darkness are bringing into churches all over the world. They're acting as ministers of righteousness. They look good. They've got them beautiful suits on, nice $400 haircuts. They drive beautiful automobiles, live in a wonderful X number of room home, have a monstrosity of a church. Not all of them. Some of them got a little one room church out in the country. They don't know. They've got the wrong spirit. There's a spirit at work, is what I'm trying to tell you, in this world. It's the prince of the power of the air. His spirit is working in his angels of darkness. Who does it work in? Does it work in you? No. Because what if the Holy Spirit sets a residence in you? But it works in unbelievers, the little s. That spirit works in unbelievers. And what does it do? It enables them to do and teach religious activities and religious works. I'm talking about some that just knock your socks off. Brownsville's a good example. Joe knows this firsthand of the spirits that are now in there. He's told me some stories he saw personally. It's scary. Really will. Spirits are alive. They're working. They're working contrary to the Lord, but they're working. These false apostles that Paul talks about over in 2 Corinthians starting in 13, the ones that present themselves as very, very religious, godly looking men, godly acting men sometimes, they present themselves as ministers of righteousness. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. How can you not be fooled? You check the scriptures daily to see if I'm telling you the truth or they're telling you the truth. The Lord will show you the truth in the scriptures. You will know if they're false apostles or not. You will know by the Word of God. Don't try to fight them by yourself. Fight them with the Word of God. Paul says that their end, and we know this at the great white throne judgment, their end will be according to their works. Great white throne judgment, Revelation 20. It's when they will be judged by their works. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 3. Verse 18 is talking about those people who come in the name of Jesus, those people who are presenting the gospel, those people who have a certain spirit by the prince of the power of the air, the angels of darkness. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, he says, that they are the enemies of Christ. Those people that we just got through talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Paul describes, they are the enemies of Christ. What do they preach? They preach religion. They preach religion. And religious works and religious activities. Whose end is destruction. Whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Well, what is that belly they're talking about there? You ever wondered what that means? It's your carnal lust. Sensual pleasures. That's the belly. Remember I told you, set your mind on heavenly things? This says that these people whose end is their destruction set their mind on earthly things. You know, we're here only for a temporal period. This is not a permanent place for us. We all know, or should know, we're all going to die unless the rapture takes place and we're translated. Which that's what I'm hoping for. But I hope that for everybody in here. But set your mind on heavenly things. It's just like I got out riding around the day before yesterday. Oh, I enjoyed it. I was riding around over close to the house on the north side of I-10. It's pretty close to my house, about a mile. Driving through this rich section over there. When I say rich, this house that I really like was $875,000. I'm not going to get that. I don't even want that. But you know, you like to see certain things. That's earthly things. I got a house. I got a house that keeps me dry. Keeps me warm. Keeps me cool, depending upon the season. Why do I want to go in debt until the day I die? By getting something that's carnal lust, sensual pleasure that I can have. I'm not the one to show off the thing, but if you had something like that, I might want to have everybody over and say, look what I got. You don't know what you do.
I got a question, Byron.
Sure.
In verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is the belly. So why is... my question is, why is God with a capital G there?
Whose God is their belly. Well, think about this. Our God does have a capital G.
Right.
They are trying to portray to everybody else that it's our God. That's how I see it. Mm-hmm. And so they know, Satan knows, that if there's a little G there, we'd all know that it was wrong. For them. Yes.
Let me
deal with him first. Maybe that's not a good answer. Anybody got any other suggestions?
I'd really like to comment on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can. It's just like when you turn in the Old Testament where it talks about, and this is what they do in the New Bibles, they turn Lucifer into Jesus. And what actually happens, there's actually kind of like, you shall be as gods. It's a little G.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is that becomes their God.
With a capital G.
Right, exactly. So in other words, that's not God. Whose God is their belly. So we know the belly's not God. But they make it that.
They make it that. The sensual lust.
That's what makes it even worse. And so that's what really makes it worse. That's the reason why God will put them out of their sight like that. Because of the fact that's exactly what they've done.
Yeah. They make that.
And that really is the description of that right there. And I'm glad you brought that out. That's really a good point. Is that they actually make that their God. And that's really serious.
It is, and that's a very good
question. They don't look at it.
Yes, Jim.
I think Richard's absolutely right. Their God to them is a capital G, looks like our God to us is a capital G.
But we call it with a little G, their God, but they call it with a big G.
It's right. A big G to them.
In her Spanish translation of the 1611, it's a lowercase.
Is that right? Wow. That's kind of strange. That's the King James.
But that's in what now?
Spanish.
Oh, in the Spanish.
Yeah, the Spanish Bible. Now, I'll tell you what. Now, there's two different Spanish translations, too. You may have the other one. See, there's one that's really from the base of the King James, and they also have. You sure that's the King James from the Spanish speaking Bible? Okay.
Mm. Okay, guys, let's move on.
I'm trying to answer that question.
But I appreciate that question. That's a very good question. I didn't perceive the capital G there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Yeah.
That was very good.
But see, it was true then. It's been true all the way down through the centuries ever since, and it's still true today. That right there, whose end is their destruction. I want you to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now I'm going to tell you a story. Verse 10. Paul writes, now I beseech you, in other words, I ask you diligently now. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How do you do that? How do you do that? The only way to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment is to be on the same page doctrinally. There's just too many disputes going on amongst the brethren. Be on the same page doctrinally. Now, with that right there, what was I just talking about predominantly? Religion. Satan. Religious activities, religious works by angels of darkness, preaching another gospel, another Jesus. And whenever I taught this part of this in up on last Tuesday night. And when I got to this religion, it's religion. Boy, did I catch it. Oh, from a buddy of mine, you met him. Joe knows. He claims salvation, but the man's lost. I really hit a nerve. He's the mildest man you'll ever meet. Never gets angry. Never says anything bad about anybody. He just lost it in class. When I'm a Baptist, and I'm going to die a Baptist, but I believe in rightly dividing the word of... No, he didn't say it. Rightly dividing the word of truth to him is rightly dividing the Bible. Well, that's the first right. But he's the one who says, I said, save me, Lord. And he did. He said, and 3 years later, I found out how I was saved. Do you believe that? Brother Muller was up there one day. The only time E.C. was there. And he said, my friend's been listening to E.C. Moore since 1984. Every service he ever put out on video, on TV, he got, and he's listened. He said, Brother Morris, this is what I believe. He said, you think I'm saved? He said, I don't know. Every time he used to go, he won't go anymore. He goes to a Bible conference. The preacher that he's talking to, that I've introduced him to out there, has always asked him, are you saved? He said, yeah. He said, well, how do you know? And he tells him, he said, no, you need to get saved. Over and over again. Well, he lost it up there with me the other night. He said, I don't believe a thing you're teaching. I don't even believe you're saved. Well, Trish jumps up and she's going to throw him out. But the people in the class got upset with him. He said, if you keep your mouth, this was after the class, if you keep your mouth shut and let us listen to him, we can learn something. He said, you disrupt the class every week and we're tired of it. If you're going to do that, just don't even come back. Start your own class somewhere. Oh yeah, it got to that. And Trish told me, she said, you know, you wouldn't put up with this with anybody else. Brother Moore would have kicked him out after the first time. It wouldn't have happened the second. Been going on for 7 years. Not as bad. But when I hit religion, you're just down on religion.
But he's the one that needs to be in the class instead of being kicked out.
He's never missed a class that he could attend.
Yeah. That's how I look at it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he needs to be there. But see, I should have, but I didn't. But the class got a hold of him. And he says, I'll watch what I say now. Because he knew they really were. Yes.
You know, this is outside of the dispensation. It says that you shall take up serpents and they shall not harm thee. And there's a lot of serpent-natured people that we come around. And when the serpent's head rises up, then you've really touched a nerve. And that's really what you want to do.
Well, one touched it.
Yeah, well, that's right. You touch their snake, their pet snake. And by the way, that's exactly what it is. That has to die. In other words, that's what you're dealing with. And so, and you got to defeat it by the Word of God. And that's just And that's what it was, Satan raising up his head. But,
yes, you got it, Carol.
And I never remember which scriptures are which, but it says you will hear, you will listen with hearing word, hearing ears. I don't remember. You probably know which one.
They have eyes to see, but they see not. They have ears to hear, but they hear not.
There you go. Ears to hear, but hear not. And that's what your friend's doing. He's sitting there, but he's not hearing what you're saying.
And because the devil, or the, that serpent, is standing between.
He hears it, but he's not listening.
Yeah. Religion's blinding.
I think, Richard, you, myself, we've all run the gamut. I was a devout Southern Baptist.
That's what he is.
Listen to what I'm saying. Right. I was a devout Southern Baptist. Then I went to a new group, and I became a devout Independent Baptist. Okay? Some Southern Baptists are wrong, but we Independent Baptists, we've got it right. I listened to E.C. Moore, I listened in this classroom, I said, well, you know, God has got it right.
Right, yes, he does.
But
God has got it right, and it's not a religion. It's a Savior. And God has done everything necessary to save me, Armin, Joe, everybody in this room. He's done everything. There's nothing more he can do. It's all been done. And we can simply trust God. Now I'm a God person. I trust God and what he's done, and know that that's all that was necessary.
You mean you trust God's plan?
I trust his
absolutely.
I need no other plan, no other faith, no other anything, but God's done it all.
Yes.
But I thought just a minute ago you said that he claims salvation.
Yes.
But he's not saved. Right?
I did.
And the thing that came to my mind was there are a lot of people through tradition, claim salvation that aren't saved.
Right? Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, yeah. Plenty of people.
Absolutely.
But now, he's a little different.
Everybody's different.
No, he knows. Now, whether he's regressed, and this can happen to a person. It's not going to happen to anybody in here, but it can happen to a person that somebody that's so eloquent, that can speak so well, can tell you something and show you something to change your mind. It can happen. I don't know but one person that it did happen to. But when he tells me, he'll tell the class, I trust that Christ is crucified, buried, and resurrected for my justification. Plus or minus nothing. I'll read him scriptures, right? Just that's what insinuate. I mean, that's just what stayed on fire. I've read him here this other scripture that I just read you guys. But now let me see if I can find it here. I want to read it to you. Philippians 3:18 is what set him off. For many walk of whom I've told you often, as the ones that we've been talking about, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So what I was saying is, religion is the enemies of the cross of Christ. That did it. That just set him on fire. You're just down on religion. Well, actually, I am.
Yeah. For salvation.
For salvation purposes.
Yeah. Religion is fine as far as for good works, but not for salvation.
Let's move on, guys. I just wanted to share the story about how and what transpired. You know, Satan's alive, and he's working. He knows that he was defeated in AD 33 when Christ was resurrected from the dead. Oh, that shocked him. There's no doubt about it. He was all for having him killed, but he didn't know he was going to be resurrected. Holy mackerel, he knew. And so he doesn't have a long time now to get as many as he can. The course of this world, the prince of the power of the air. He's working. He worked in me. You know, and some people may say, well, you know what? He's still working. No, he's not. What I do on my own. Because when I'm talking about he's working, he's not working in my spirit anymore. He may be working in my carnal flesh as he did in Romans 7:14 into Paul. I'm carnal, sold unto sin. What I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, that's what I do.
That right there is my own desires. The fact of it is, that's not what's going to be saved about me. I'm concerned with people's salvation. That's the Spirit. You're going to get a new body. Let's move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Ooh, there's a lot here. Well, you know, who is the foundation that he's talking about? Jesus Christ. Well, wasn't Peter talking about Jesus Christ? Yes, he was. Paul laid the foundation, but Paul here is also talking about the gospel. That's the foundation he laid with Jesus Christ. Peter laid a different foundation. He preached the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the circumcision. Paul preaches the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. That's a different gospel. That's a foundation. Then he says, and another buildeth thereon. Did you know each and every... He's talking about Silas and Timothy. Did you know Joe and George and all of us in here? We're laying on that foundation as Paul did. How we buildeth thereupon? Are we teaching the right gospel? Are we adding anything to it? You've got to be careful how you're building thereupon. It says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. I want to stress that fact. You better be careful how you build upon this gospel. What you trying to add to it? What you trying to take away from it? Be careful. But let every man take heed. That's carefulness. How he buildeth thereupon this gospel. Chapter 4 of the same book. 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 14. Why should you be careful? Listen. Paul says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. You remember your work in preaching, teaching, witnessing, being an ambassador, being a servant of God. Over, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 3. Your work is going to be wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stone. So, back to that prior verse, it says, you take heed how you build upon the foundation that another man built upon. You take heed how you do that. Be careful. Make sure you're teaching the right thing. And he called those Corinthians my beloved sons. He taught them. He begat them in the gospel of Christ. Verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Have you begotten anyone through the gospel? Only you, that person in the Lord, knows. You might not even know. If you've witnessed and shared your testimony, somebody might have got saved. That's begotten someone through the gospel. That's what Paul did. That's exactly what Paul did. Verse 16. Wherefore, I beseech you, I ask you again, be ye followers of me. You know, we talked about that about 5 months ago or less. Be ye followers of me. Follow the Apostle Paul. Why? Because he's the pattern. The Corinthians believed the message that Paul preached. Didn't they? But how do you know that? Go to Acts chapter 18. I tell you that, and we've seen that, but I want to show you where it says that. It's very simple, and it's not a great revelation. Acts 18. 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. I want you to see he was there. Go to verse 11. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Back up to verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord. Can you imagine that? The chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. They were baptized. This is a time period Paul was still baptized. So we know these Corinthians believe because the Scripture says so. We saw over there, and I'm going to reiterate it again. We saw that he preached the gospel of Christ in 1 Corinthians 4:15. Because he said, I have begotten you through the gospel. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, which is one of our, well, you know what that is. 3 and 4.
Where are we going?
1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. You probably all know it by heart. For I delivered unto you first of all, Paul said, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. See, there's a point here that there had been another gospel preached to these Corinthians prior to Paul. But it wasn't the gospel Paul preached. A message of repentance had been preached to Israel. That's what it was. A message of what? Remission of sins. It looked forward now into the future, to a day of atonement. What Paul preached to these Corinthians was the gospel of Christ. And we know in Romans chapter 5, verse 11, that we now, and those Corinthians that trusted and believed in the message, the gospel of Christ that Paul preached, now have their atonement right then. They're at one with God. At one with Christ. Atonement. At one. At one. That's just awesome. But see, this remission of sins, it looks forward to a future date. As Peter says in Acts chapter 3, 19, 20, and 21, when the times of refreshing and the presence of the Lord, that's Jesus Christ coming back at the second coming. Boy, we've got something special. We really do. We've got our atonement right now. We don't have to wonder about it. Nobody knew this. This was a mystery until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Nobody in the entire world knew about it. He was the first. Man, he was special. He was that chosen vessel that the Lord told Ananias about. Yes, he was going to have to suffer, and the Lord was very good in talking about that. Paul was talking about how Christ died for our sins, not for remission of sins, but for forgiveness of sins. And he did it in what? Acts 13:38. He did it in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, I believe it is. And in verse 10 of Colossians, he said, you are complete in Christ. Why does people want us to continue to do something? Why is religion so big on having you do something else when it says you are complete in Christ? I don't have an answer for that other than is Satan and his angels of darkness want you to continue in your religious path. Get out of it! Just get out of it. That's what I'm going to tell you. You like going to church where all your friends are at in a big church? Or you want to go to and do you want to be saved? Or you want to stay there with them and enjoy this life as much as you can? This is your glory. It won't be none left over if you're not saved. You're not going to be looking forward to the glory of God, which I am looking forward to, and an eternity with God the Father. Man. Go to Galatians chapter 1, if you would. Verse 10. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Or do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Do you know you can't serve God and mammon? You can't serve men and Jesus at the same time. You can't. You're trying to be a man pleaser? There's a lot of religious people that try to be men pleasers. And you brought up Joel Osteen. He's one of them. He likes tickling your ears with nice words to tell you various different things. And the majority of the women in America, they love that. They do. That's just a statistic. People watch Joel Osteen. He believes there's more than one way to heaven. I saw him say so. He said, when Larry King asked him, well, what about the Muslims? Well, that's up to God and the Muslims. I believe that they can get to heaven. Well, no, they can't. Not unless they trust the gospel of the grace of God. There's not but one way. Not a way, the way. Goodness gracious alive. I wish they'd take him off the air. But people empty their pockets and send money, plenty of money to this angel of darkness. And I'll call him that because that's what he is. Is there a possibility that he can be saved? Yes. Can Rick Warren be saved? Yes. Can a Muslim, your enemy, be saved? Yes. Why? For God will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. God made a provision for all mankind to be saved by trusting the simplicity of the gospel. That's how simple it is. Man, just think, if we went out and preached a religious service somewhere, tithing, walking the aisle, and man, we'd go to the creek somewhere, to the ocean, and start baptizing since we don't have a baptistry. I would not, and will not, and never will baptize a person. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we baptized into what? One body. That's the only baptism there is for this dispensation. I know of other people who have baptized. And they're saved. Why would they do it? I can't give you an answer. They know the gospel. They live by the gospel. Yet still they have baptized people. I just don't understand. Galatians chapter 1. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel was, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul says, be ye followers of me. He doesn't want you to be a man pleaser by going out there and tickle somebody's ears to get their money or to get status in a religious system developed by man. God did not build a denomination. Did he? Self-built. I can't think of a woman. Did he? Did he start Baptist Church? Lutheran Church? Presbyterians? No! Man did it! R-I-T. It's a religious act. It's a religious this. It's a religious that. Am I down on religion? Organized? Denominationalism?
Yes.
Yes, I am. And I'm going to tell you, you may say, well, you know, you're a harsh kind of guy. You should be harsh when you're talking about this. Yes, I should be.
Yes, I should be. Am I going to run somebody off? Maybe. They may get offended. But you know what? That's not my job to worry about that. That's the Holy Spirit's job. We need a Savior. You know that?
Just like the guy in Op the other night was talking about.
Yep. He's bringing the ham. Yes. So, don't hold back. Why? Because time is drawing near. Right now, to the Lord coming back at the rapture to meet Him in the air, than it was the 2,000 years ago, other than end times. We were in the end times then when Paul got it. But we really are in the end times as far as the rapture goes right now. The latter part. And don't worry about the world ending on the 21st of December, okay? If you've got any worries, don't worry. Another man-made thing. Just think if it does end, where are you going? You're going to be. So what is there to worry about? Oh gosh, I ain't pay for my car yet, my house. Who's going to get me? Hey. The flow if it ends. Oh, there's people that worry about that. I've had a person tell me, you know, I wish I'd have died when I was a baby instead of having to go through this hell on earth. I don't want the rapture to come. Same person. I don't want the rapture to come today. There's things I haven't done. I didn't watch my children grow. Are you crazy? Come on. Who's first in your life? God. That's how it should be. God. Family. Always first. You put all the women in here, you should put God before your husband. And all the men in here should put God before their wives. That's just the way it is. But God is as the man is of the woman. God does not abuse Jesus Christ. Abuse the woman, because He's the head by the Scriptures. God made it that way for you to listen to her, make your decision, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. That's the way it's set up. That's the way. People say today, they say, I believe. What about that? Do you? You want to follow Jesus? I do. But I want to follow Him through the apostles. Anybody just want to follow Jesus in His earthly ministry? You follow Jesus and you're going to go straight to hell following Jesus in His earthly ministry. Oh my God, that sounded almost like blasphemy. Didn't it? But is it true? Yes, it is true. If you want to follow Jesus in His earthly ministry, in this dispensation, you're going to drop off in hell the moment you die. Oh, that is tough. Maybe you shouldn't be so hard. I'm not a man pleaser. I leave the Savior. My job is to plant. And if it's already been planted, is to come back and water. God does, not me, not a pastor, not a teacher, nowhere. You got too many people out there think they're too important as a pastor or a preacher. Because they got money. Money is power. Ain't that something? Set your mind on heavenly things, not earthly things. When people say, I want to follow Jesus, they don't even know about
rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus. They would see they followed Jesus, the risen Savior, sitting on the right hand of God in the throne room in the third heaven by following the Apostle Paul. That's the only way it can be done.